If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Bring back my girls. My name is Keane.
Drag Race quote, I'm James.
Are we parodying ourselves?
Yeah, we are.
Welcome back to Sissy That Pod. This is the Kiki, the midweek episode where we kind of, you know, we flex the format. We, you know, we venture a bit further than the actual episodes. This week, we're talking about our dream All-Star 6 cast.
We are getting right out there into adventure time land. We're thinking big and being and living even bigger.
As we speak now, we don't know each other's lists. So, you know, we might be in a big huff when it comes to the end of this episode.
I'm very even tempered, so I can't see that happening.
Sure. I'll be surprised by the end of the episode if you haven't crossed somebody off your list. You're so flippant at these queens. Yeah. Okay, we won't keep it from anymore. Let's get into it. Right, so we're going to go through season by season. Start season one, and we'll work our way up to season 12, and then we'll go UK.
I haven't included any queens from UK.
Okay, nor have I. Well, we'll scrap that then.
Yeah.
So just season 1 to 12 of the US version.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
But I am looking forward to doing another episode sometime in the future when we have more franchises from all over the world and just a mix match.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be very exciting. It would be very exciting to be able to put together like a couple of, because even in Drag Race Canada, there's people who I'm like looking at now and going like, oh, you know what? You deserve an All-Stars gig.
Juice box?
No. No, yeah, absolutely.
Poor juice box.
Tom right. Green. So,
yeah. Right, let's start with season one. Do you have any season one queens?
Yeah, and I think that there is an agreed contender from season one who hasn't been featured, and it's Nina Flowers.
Yeah, I have Nina Flowers too.
I think that she brought a gender fuck kind of vibe to her drag from the very beginning. Mm. She has a very unique perspective and is clearly extremely well sort of respected in the drag community, and I think that it would be interesting to see what she would do. I feel like she would also be able to compete at the level that some of the queens who are coming into the later seasons are, which is what we've seen as a problem for earlier season queens.
Do you think that Nina Flowers will struggle to get her personality across?
I don't know. I suppose she was kind of a reserved person in a way. Now, obviously, I don't know, Drag Race season one, I don't know if you ever noticed it sounds like they were recording it in like the basement underneath like a very cranky neighbor upstairs, so they were all kind of like whispering like this. You can't be too loud. So you know, it felt like her personality probably was a bit more reserved, but
even in All Stars one,
that is true, but I think she kind of got overshadowed a bit in All Stars one by Tammy.
Was that her partner, Tammy Brown?
Yeah, it was Nina and Tammy Brown.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a clash. That's a culture clash. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's my only issue with her. That like, as we go forward in the seasons, you do have that queen who's great with Rita Baga, for example, great with looks, maybe not shining as strongly with the personality.
See, I think that she had I think that she probably has what people were expecting Angina to have, which is kind of, she would come in with a very strong drag mothery etiquette, would be very well respected, is just someone who is competent at what it is that they do. And I would be interested to see kind of how she would approach some of the, like, I suppose the main thing to see from her is like, can she elevate her look beyond what it was? And I think that she is the sort of person who I think has the creativity to be able to do that, especially if she had the resources behind her. And I really enjoyed her in, like, it was very close between her and BB in the first season of Drag Race. And I think that it would be like, especially now that they're bringing back a lot of those earlier queens, it would be sort of like, if they haven't reached out to her yet, it would be sad for them not to try and give that platform, because it was her point of view in drag was always like it's a slightly more off kilter version of drag that she did.
Yeah.
Isn't something that's always been celebrated or represented truly well in Drag Race, and it's interesting that she was there at the very beginning of it.
Yeah,
but yeah, she was someone I'm excited to see.
Why Nina, not Chanel?
I think Chanel seems needy and annoying. And she had her like first of all, I think on her season, Chanel was like had a very much a vibe of like, oh, of course, like I'm here to win, and like got very frustrated when she wasn't doing as well as she felt she would have. And then I'd say that she came back for All Stars 1 and again sort of seemed to have this sort of real, I think that she feels false to me in a way that Nina Flowers didn't, and I like an authentic person.
Yeah, the first season it was, you know, ego problem, and then All Stars 1 was I'm in the shadow of Chad Michaels, I have a chip on my shoulder.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, but if she comes back, you know, she might have a different point of view. And I think, to be honest, even though we both prefer Nina Flowers, I think it's probably more likely that Chanel will come back.
Well, that is true, because she had been featured in the celebrity one.
But she didn't even get a credit. She was just a makeup artist.
Yeah, and she seemed pretty like bitter and salty about that, and they had to like invent a pretend kind of web series to go alongside Secret Celebrity Drag Race in order to like give her a vehicle so she'd stop like shut up. And I think that like yeah. she, I think the chip on her shoulder is going to go along, because I think that if she came back now for All Stars 6, she would have a chip on her shoulder about the fact that the sort of newer queens who get like more exposure from it either don't appreciate the fact that she put in all this work, or else that they have an unfair advantage because they're so popular beyond the franchise or beyond the actual show. And I'm like, I just am interested in that. I want someone who's going to go in there and he's going to be like, take the challenge that's put in front of them and do the best with it, and not like bother me with kind of that kind of like bullshit. Yeah, like, I mean, I want drama. I don't want sort of drama like that though, where it's like status. And
yeah, well, look, I think Nina would be better for the drag. Chanel would be better for the drama.
And probably. I would prefer them to focus on the drag.
Yeah, probably. Season 2.
Nobody.
How come?
I think season 2, we've seen enough of them now.
Okay.
You know, there's no one else that I'm really kind of like gagging to see from season 2.
So I chose Pandora Box.
I am going to hold my hand up right now and say, I don't get it. Have never got it. Didn't enjoy it when I had it. Glad it went away. Don't think she's great.
I quite liked her because I think she was one of the really first strong charm offensive queens. And she was very comedically funny, and she'll come back.
Was she though?
She was. Her Carol Channing.
I don't know. I think everything she's done has been done better subsequently.
I think her Carol Channing is better than Bob's.
I agree. On that front, I do agree. Yeah. But I wouldn't say it was massively better than Bob's, but I'll give you Carol Channing, because like that raspberry
but her runways weren't great, but no one's runways were great back then.
But also she was, and I know that they have an absolute lust for this on Drag Race, where they kind of like have the comedy queen, they have the comedy challenge, and then they pick a fashion queen or someone who hasn't. So like, that first Snatch Game went rightfully to Tatiana for her Britney Spears, because it was hilarious. It was supposed to be Pandora's moment to shine. She didn't shine. And I found that she kind of, like, there was sort of a drabness about her that I just never felt she could shake. And then, like, even seeing her subsequently since the show, I've always felt like she's been a bit sort of, I don't know, she seems needy or something.
The drabness for me would come in her pedestrian style of drag. And I'm hoping if she comes back, she'd be like...
But if you see her since the show, like on her Instagram or any of the performances, her drag hasn't changed or grown or elevated. Like, it's not like...
She hasn't been on the show.
But she should always be striving to better herself. That's the James mentality.
I know, but I mean, when you're going... Like, when you're spending money, it'll be a heightened version of it, I think.
I don't know. I think even just over time, like, you know, with the fact that she suddenly had more money to be able to play with, and she was going on, like, the gigs she was going on is more like if you look at the comedy queens who've come since her, it's like they have put, like, if you talk about like Jinx or Bob or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, she feels like a prelude to Jinx.
I would say that's absolutely right, but I think that she, like, if you look at Jinx's, first of all, if you look at what Jinx has done since, like, she's done all of the vaudevillians, she's done like her like podcast, she's done an awful lot of like, you know, comedy and sort of performance stuff. Even say Ben to the Creme is similar as well. And like, the level of drag has just like inched up. There's been no requirement for it to do so, because what she was doing wasn't fashion drag.
Yeah.
But it has inched up to a place where she's polished the like presentation, and I don't think Pandora has done that. Pandora would wear the same wig that she wore into the workroom to a performance today.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want that. But I think if she was going to show, and what I'd want to see her from the show is this really step up, and she gives us, you know, a heightened looks along with a more finessed comedy. And she'll still have the charm, I think.
Mm.
That's why I chose her.
Well, bully for you.
This is going to be a long episode. Okay, season three.
I have no one from season three.
I chose Delta Work.
Now, I actually had a little list of queens who I was thinking these would be good, but I don't think they'll ever go back to the franchise. And Delta Work was on that list for me. And I specifically didn't select queens from that list.
Who that wouldn't go back?
Yeah, so I had like,
I did.
I had Willem and I had Max and Pearl and Delta Work as queens who would be interesting to see back in the format, but I don't feel will ever go back because of their relationship with either Way Presents, RuPaul, or the show in general.
And so just one thing on the Pandora box is, and I suppose I really came at this from a redemption point of view, mm-hmm. and Pandora box needs that redemption from being stuck with Mimi on First. Now, to be fair, I thought she was a bit of a bitch to Mimi on First because she was like, yeah. she didn't give her a chance from the word go. But I feel, you know, the same way Shay is triggered by a rose petal, like, you know, someone plays a Mariah song and Pandora like foams at the mouth. Like,
yeah. yeah, to be fair, I would prefer to see Mimi on First back over Pandora.
Oh, would
box.
You? No.
I mean, so, I wouldn't want to see her either. Yeah. She's not on my list.
So I chose Delta Work for the same reason, because I feel the Heathers, like, I feel Delta was vastly overshadowed. You know, the Heathers were doing so well in that season and they were really bitchy. Like, that's probably the bitchiest season, that one, or season five, I'd say.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see her back, not sucked into that warp, less in her head. Like, she was in her head the whole season, really. And, like, I think she got let the bitchiness get to her. And I just think that sort of old school, more sort of plus size queen, I think would be a new breath of fresh air.
I really like her. Now, God, to be perfectly honest with you, I used to really like her. But then that whole drama with her being like sacked as Rue's personal hairstylist came out. And I just found myself thinking, no, you're your own worst enemy here. Try harder. Don't get like all defensive and annoyed around this. So very brief sort of like history of that issue is, so when, what was his name? The guy who used to do all the makeup and stuff.
Oh, I don't know.
When Matthew Anderson used to...
So, I was only asking to test you, and you failed.
When Matthew Anderson got fired or let go or had his breakdown and was no longer able to do Rue's makeup at the beginning of season 9, and they had to bring in Raven, they also brought in Delta Work to start doing Rue's hair. RuPaul invited her to do the hair on AJ and the Queen, and in the like negotiation portion of like working out what the conditions would be, she was unhelpful and she was sort of bitchy and pushy. And then basically they were like, this girl is like frustrating to work with. We don't want to work with her. So then she got let go from that. And then Rue decided, having had absolutely no like sort of need to stick with Delta, to stay with the person who had done the hair on AJ and the Queen. So after AJ and the Queen, that person has gone to do Rue's hair on Drag Race. And Delta Work is frustrated and embittered that this person
took her gig.
And then there's another thing, something around like the hair and makeup, awards that they won, where her name wasn't included on the nomination form for the Grammys because...
Emmys.
For the Emmys, because she wasn't like part of some union or something, and she kind of got frustrated by that. And it's like,
God, you really stay up to date with Delta's life.
Of course I do. I keep up to date with all my queens. But no, basically listening to her story, I'm kind of like, you've gotten in your own way too many times. I really liked you on your season. You were one of my favorites. And I think that you've gotten in your own way to the point where I'm not interested in seeing what you have to offer.
No, I'm still interested. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to any of that Travis stuff outside of work. But, you know, if she's, you know, obviously this all goes to the reason that I want to come see them come back and I want to see them do well.
Yes.
You know, if she comes back and she's the same she's season three, then obviously, you know, I don't think that's worth seeing. But I think if she is in the right headspace and with the right sort of momentum and confidence in herself, I think she could do really well.
And since I've come from the point of view of like looking at people who there was obvious holes in their kind of whatever it was they were bringing to Drag Race that they could go away, fix and bring back.
Okay.
And I think that for me with her, I think she kind of brought the whole package, and when she laid it out, it wasn't what they were buying. And I don't think she'll, and it's the same with Pandora. I kind of think we've seen it all. there's nothing new to be garnered out of bringing you back for it again.
I feel Delta showed very little.
Yeah, but that's because I think
she has very little.
Yeah. You know, like she was kind of not really a comedy queen, not really a fashion queen. Like she didn't sing.
What came next with the Ellis Edwards and the Heidi in Closet. I think she was like, she's a great host, I would imagine.
She does seem quite warm and charismatic. I'll give her that.
Season 4.
Nobody.
I mean, like, the obvious one is Willem, but I'm like, I see so much of him anyway. Like, I don't know if he needs to go back in the show. I went for a bit of a left field option here.
Milan.
No. I'm not going that far left. Jiggly Caliente.
I would be interested to see Jiggly Caliente.
Because
back.
I've been watching Jiggly Caliente in Pose.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel, you know, she's an actress now. Yeah. She is trans.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure if they use she. They have
fixed her teeth.
Have really, yeah. Like, they've really heightened themselves and, like, their general output. And I think they were very lovable to start off with.
Yeah.
And I think... Now, like, you know, season 4 was a Shark Tank, and I suppose also to a certain degree would be Shark Tank as well. But, you know, I think there is a redemption storyline possible there.
Oh, completely. And I think that, okay, when Jiggly came along to her season, she sailed through a bit like a Dore Delano on a certain amount of charisma. Mm. And I think the things that she was lacking in perhaps confidence in her performance, because as we saw with her when she got tripped up about that chicken magazine, and like, it was like when she followed her instincts were good. And I can imagine that probably now through being an actress, she is now more confident in her own abilities. And then I would say that the runway had let her down, and I think that we've been able to see now, based on what she's putting out and where she's turning up to, that actually she's heightened that as well. So it's someone who's going to bring back what was kind of like something that was 80% there, and it's like now at 100%. And I would be interested to see her back in the competition.
Yeah, definitely. And she's kind of been left out of the canon of drag queens, I feel like. She's not kind of one of the first two names. Like, we didn't include her in our queen, you know,
yes,
SmackDown
true.
Stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so she's kind of overlooking? overlooked. And I think that's a shame.
I would agree with you. I think that she is someone that you could reach back into the big bag of Drag Race queens and say, I'll have you on the top of my Christmas tree. Don't think she'd win.
No, I also was like, well, you know, somebody has to grow it first.
Yeah.
Yeah, her or me. Yeah, I won't repeat that anymore. Season 5.
I have two queens from season 5.
I have none, so over to you.
So the first queen I have from season 5 is, I would say, one of the early like runway queens, but never fully got that vibe, which was Ivy Winters.
Mm.
I think that she had a brilliant aesthetic and actually was incredibly creative and interesting. And to see what she would be able to do, I think having had, like, because she had the circus skills and she had all those strings to her bow that never really fully got explored. And I think that she was in a season where there was such a focus on very specific dramas that she kind of floated along in the background. And I would be interested to see her back as someone who could come back and do extremely well in the drag challenges. Probably not someone who would go all the way, but certainly someone who would have the abilities to, like, put a really strong presentation together and show why they deserved their place in sort of the Hall of Fame exactly, but in the sort of pantheon of excellent drag queens.
Yeah. Now, do you think they've upped the comedy?
So I couldn't tell you. Okay. I can only
I keep up to all my queens.
Only Delta. But like, only embittered.
You know, I'd be funny now. I don't know, but let me tell you about Delta's hair contract. Let me tell you if Delta's in a union or not.
I actually do think that would be the thing that she would need to show that she'd redeem, because obviously her snatch game was really poor and her,
like, what would you do for the talent show?
Well, she's got a whole bevy of, like, circus.
Oh, the circus. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, that's easy. Yeah.
But I think you are right. Like, in Snatch Game, she would have to really redeem herself. And then when it came to, like, any of the acting challenges.
And lip syncing.
But I mean, she can sing live beautifully. She can do the circus tricks. So she has those strings as well.
That's,
I think,
true.
That the acting and the improv and the comedy, she would need to see whether she had those skills and had encouragement. But I feel like she was a strong competitor in a season of very strong queens, and sort of like you know, there's another queen coming up in the next in season six, who I'll talk about in that again as well, who I think got overlooked just by the virtue of the fact that there were stronger competitors.
I know who it is already.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we in the show believe Serena Cech is too good for an All-Stars, so we haven't chosen her. But after Serena,
one more season five.
No, I know, I'm getting that. But after Serena, I would probably choose Ivy Winters out of all of them.
Yes. Okay.
For season five.
Yeah.
Who's your other one?
My other one is Jade Jolie.
No,
and I'll be honest with you.
Unless you say Taylor Swift, I'm not interested.
This is exactly, I'm about to say those two things. So, okay. First of all, as we saw with Jasmine Masters, they love bringing back a queen who's like done some big stuff out of their own personal stuff. And I think that her look has been massively elevated. You can't say that her look has not been elevated since season four, and it's much more refined. And right. I think, or season five, and it's much more refined. And I also think that, you know, and I know I've just said that I don't necessarily love the queens that are just there for the drama, but I think that she would have a good India Farah style opportunity, because I think she is also going to be able to bring the drama and could be a bit of like a fun villain. But I also think that her looks would be wild good, and I think that she would potentially have
wild good.
Woo! Overlooking wild good. But I think that her looks could be really strong. I do think that she obviously, you know, she, keeping up with her Instagram, she looks fantastic and seems to be working constantly. So I would be excited to see what she could do. And I do think that she would bring drama to the workroom in an exciting way.
I can just picture in that hair look. That's all I can picture her in. And then it's Taylor Swift. But I mean, she'd have to do Taylor Swift for Snatch Game again, you know, as a redemption. After being mistaken to her and having, you know, John Travolta who mistook her? No, maybe I'm thinking, no, it was John Travolta because he got Idina Menzel wrong as well.
Oh, yes.
So I had like John Travolta as a puppet. Like, I don't know. I don't see it. Like, for the amount of grief I got for Pandora Box, I think Pandora Box has it in spades over Jade. But look,
I think that Jade is one of the great overlooked villains of Drag Race.
But
who
I mean,
had the potential.
Season five was just villain galore. Like, it was, you have Rolaska talks, then you had Coco and Alyssa. Like,
yeah. And I think that given the space to shine, Jade could have been, she could be a villain for the ages.
We'll see. Well, we might not
maybe
see.
Maybe we may not.
We won't see.
How's your head? Stuff. As you know, Sissy Dat Pod is part of the Head Stuff Podcasting Network, which is Ireland's biggest and boldest and brightest and most beautiful podcasting network, full of wonderful shows which you can go and listen to. And right now, we've got a little ad from one of our network sisters. Hey, Sissy.
When it comes to understanding political issues, I am a self-confessed toddler. That's why I've enlisted the help of Steve, my politically savvy drinking buddy, to help me better understand politics.
Every couple of weeks, we get together and record on topics like what is the politics of language, what is Watergate, how the internet is killing democracy.
We take these big issues and we break them down into silly little comedic bite-sized bits. If you like the sound of that, then search for What Am Politics in your podcast app of choice, or find us here on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Okay, the ever iconic season six.
I have two queens from season six.
Okay, let me guess, one of them is Jocelyn Fox.
Yes, she is.
Go with her for the moment.
I mean, like, she finished fifth in the most...
No, sixth.
No, she finished fifth.
The top three, and then it was Darian and Bendela.
Oh, you're
and
right.
And then Jocelyn.
Yeah. Well, she got to the top six in probably the toughest season, for the most iconic season of Drag Race. She was so strong in her comedy. She was so strong in her, like, her Snatch Game was really funny. Her, like, gasp in that that horror show was really funny. She held her own sort of in any of the scenes that she was put in with the likes of Bianca or Adore. And I think that she probably had been cast in that season as a foil to Courtney Act, because there was that kind of like comparison between their looks all the time. And then also she was like a real fan of hers. And I think that, like, her lip sync for the Stupid Girls was so good. Like, it was like, she's a strong lip syncer. She's a very naturally funny comedic person. She deserved sort of more recognition than she got in her season. She kind of floated through by virtue of the fact that there were such extremely powerful queens in that season, sort of slightly going underneath the radar. And I think that she deserves a chance to come back, because the only thing that she would need to improve, the only thing that she would need to change, is her runways. And I feel like she could do that.
Yeah. I never got like an artistic vision with her.
And I'll second that. I think that like her artistic vision was knickers and a necklace, but like she can have grown in that way. Like it's much easier to grow in your runway look than it is to get the charm that she had, or to get the sort of the comic timing that she had, or the ability to kind of work up against big personalities and not be overshadowed, which is something that she had in spades going.
But
through
season
6.
She was overshadowed.
I know she wasn't overshadowed,
but she has been.
She's been forgotten about because she hasn't positioned herself well in, like, even her social media. It still remains like her boy Instagram rather than her like drag Instagram. She hasn't really been pushing. Like she hasn't done. She hasn't. She obviously went home. She obviously got married on the stage of RuPaul's Drag Race, then went home and just like started living her life as like boy Jocelyn, only doing a couple of gigs every now and again.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that she wants it, and I don't necessarily know, you know, because like based on her, like her, she's not. Like, if you look at Jay Jolie, she's, like, trying to push herself as, like, a professional drag queen. Like, that's what she wants to be. Whereas with Jocelyn Fox, there is this feeling of, like, kind of, you know, oh, ho-hum, not really that bothered about it. So I think probably part of the reason that she has been sort of forgotten about is that she hadn't really been trying to make a mark for herself outside of it. So I would be excited to see her back, because I think that she is one of the most charming contestants that Drag Race has had.
She, I mean, she was, yeah, one of the most. But, like, you know, in the lower half of the top 10.
Still top 10 out of 120 odd queens.
Yeah, okay. I haven't convinced me, but I do see the argument. For my 6, I feel like I kind of cheated with this one because I chose Courtney Act. So I watched season 6 first, and I was so obsessed with Courtney Act.
Yeah.
Like, I thought she was going to win, easy peasy.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I only really thought it was looking like a woman. I didn't really know
yeah.
the nuances. And Bianca Del Rio, I suppose I wasn't really watching it with my critique head on and being like, oh, Bianca won all these challenges and she was so funny about them. I was just so obsessed with her on the show. And obviously, she's gone on to do such big things outside of the show. You'd love to see her back with a budget. She has a really artistic vision, but she also has such like a warm, nurturing side you'd like to see her come along with. I mean, the comedy wasn't the sharpest, but it was decent. Again, you have live singing. I think she'd do a great talent show. I think she'd do an interesting snatch game. I think she'd be good at improv. And she'd be the queen of the mirror moments, you know? So I would go Courtney Act.
I think, like the banking system, she's too big to fail. And I think that she wouldn't go back because...
Oh, I don't think she needs to go back.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, she's another one on that list of queens who kind of has burnt their bridges to an extent.
She has, and I know she's too big, and I know it's like, you know, but it's no, kind of a cop-out answer.
I almost would say with her, because sometimes what I don't love is when, like, a queen, like, I think All Stars, in its purest form, is about a bit of a redemption moment for a queen who maybe didn't get to showcase the best they had to offer. Yeah. And I think that Courtney Act, in a way, is kind of the perfect example. And I think Adore Delano in All Stars 2 was a bit of this as well. It was a queen who had done as well as they needed to in their season and had absolutely no need to go back for another one. I did really like her, though, in the season, and I enjoyed here, and I would enjoy seeing her back in again, and I do think she would do some really wild, good things. So
yeah. But I kind of feel like now when you see her on TV, like, she isn't displaying the drag at its full heights.
Yeah.
She's kind of doing almost like passable woman drag, you know? Like, she's kind of going for that. She's not going for a glamazon per se. She's kind of just going for, you know, a TV presenter.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's like probably a choice that she's making.
Definitely. And I'd like to go see her, you know, in a full latex outfit, or, you know, in some of those really high fashion looks or those high concepts, like in a mankini. Like, I would just love to see them, so.
Yeah.
That's what I love the wings. Remember the wings she had?
No, I thought they were and that like the direct comparable to Jocelyn Fox, the kind of God, what was it again? Now I can't remember. The with the tray with the thing on it and the like huge.
Oh yeah, like the butler in the buff kind of thing.
Yeah.
In the buff, but yeah.
They were serving
fish.
There's a really, really iconic LGBT reference that we're both missing in this, and it is just really going to annoy me because I'll remember it in a minute. But anyway, from another queen who I would like to see back for a redemption moment from season 6 is Trinity K. Bonet.
Yeah, she'd be up there for me as well. I really liked her on the show.
Yeah.
And April Carrion.
I'd be less keen on April Carrion.
Actually, I haven't seen April Carrion in The Switch. I'll have to see how she did in that first.
But no, with Trinity K. Bonet, I feel like she was someone who got in her own way with kind of nerves and not wanting to like maybe look foolish. And it took a while for her to get her under her lips. Like, she is, like, you know, All Stars 5 should have had her as a lip sync assassin. Her lip syncs were so good. Mm. And her looks were always amazing. Mm. And you did see it in a couple of, like, in the, like, that sketch thing that she did with Bianca, and then even in the comedy challenge, she was able to turn that performance in. She had a very natural way about her.
Yeah, her comedy challenge was great.
Yeah, and it's like, to actually see her coming back in with the confidence that this is how well she can turn it from the very beginning, and maybe to assert herself a bit more as a front runner, which I don't think she really did. And again, like, for both, for any really of the queens in season six, like, when you were walking into a room and you had, like, charisma powerhouse, Adore Delano, and talent powerhouse Bianca Del Rio, and then Courtney and Darian as well, and Ben de la Creme too, you forget, like you weren't cracking that top five. Like, there was no way you were cracking that top five.
Yeah, and hindsight, you're kind of like, how did Darian get up there? Because I, like, if you were to name the season six queens, I think, like, in order, or just top of your head, you'd be like Bianca, Adore, maybe like Laganja, Courtney, Ben de la Creme, Gia Gunn, and then you'd be like, oh, Darian did well. As who else is there? And then you kind of run out. Maybe Milk, you might think of, you know. So I think there's definitely, like, a few people, like, what. Gia Gunn came, what, like eighth or something like that? And she's still more iconic than some people who came third in other seasons, you know? Okay, so yeah, Trinity K. Bonet, you know, I'd be there here for that as well. Season seven,
I've won, and actually this is something that I've noticed in All Stars seasons, is they haven't featured one of the older queens yet. And I would like them to bring back Mrs. Kasia Davis, because I think Mrs. Kasia Davis didn't get the run she deserved on season seven, because season seven was all about looks and a lot more about kind of fashion. And I think that she was a really strong comedy queen who maybe didn't have the best opportunity to serve that on her season.
I didn't have anyone from season seven, but I ended up with 11 queens. I had to cut one off. And the one I cut off was Ginger Minj. I really liked Ginger Minj. I actually wanted her to win season seven, even though most other people didn't. And I just felt her run was cut short in All Stars 2, so let's see her back. But I didn't choose her in the end, so I should stop talking about it.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't. See, I suppose I wouldn't have chosen Queen. I think that, like, All Stars 1 is prime for picking if you're going to go back in, but I don't think All Stars 2 is yet. And I think that the justification for season 1 and All Stars 1 queens being able to be brought back is that there wasn't an audience there to allow them build their platform on. So I wouldn't allow her through the door. I did really like Ginger and much preferred her on her season to on All Stars. I think on her season, she was very, like, assertive or something, whereas in All Stars it felt like she was a bit kind of, like, weedy or in the background. There was something about her that didn't quite match.
I mean, I feel Miss Kasia Davis is, like, you know, a good option out of who's left. I just kind of feel season 5 and season 7 have been kind of done to death.
Yeah, I mean, I would, like,
like, with the true stars coming out of season 7 being the ones who didn't even get to the final three, like, you know, so.
No, absolutely. And I do think that kind of, like Max would be someone who'd be interesting to see back, but Max is very much, like, Max is done with the show and isn't going to go back to it. It'd be interesting to see what they do, because, I mean, really interesting performer, like, very strong throughout the very start, then had that, like, one sort of beat of kind of oddness.
Delusion.
But, like, also it's interesting because if you watch behind the scenes on that, it was like they, like, edited it together to make her look like she was losing her mind, whereas she wasn't, and, like, the whole, because her snatch game was terrible. She deserved to be in the bottom, but, like, I feel like they've let other people off for bad snatch games, and it was, yeah. But I would, yeah. She, Max would be the only person off season 7 other than Mrs. Kasia Davis that I'd be.
Max now. You've lost me there. Who was for? Kennedy. No, thank you. Season 8.
Well, of course, I was going to say Nasha Lopez, but then I decided to say no one.
Oh, okay. Not even Kim Chi?
No, I'm not interested in seeing Kim Chi back. I've seen enough of Kim Chi on her season. I like her a lot. Mm-hmm. I think she's great, but I just don't necessarily think that she would make interesting viewing on an All-Star season.
I chose Kim Chi. I think she'd be really good because I feel like she, for example, Secret Celebrity Drag Race, that one line, you know.
It was a great season.
It was a great season, like, brilliant. And we know she has looks and they're going to be even better. And, you know, if you see her in Work the World, she knows how to walk in heels more. She can dance a bit now as well. So these are things that she fell down on. And I just think she has a lot more confidence now.
See, I don't think she ever fell down on those things, though. Like, I don't think, like, her ability to, like, she never landed in the bottom.
No, I wanted her to win.
I mean, I think that it was impossible for anyone other than Bob to win that season. I'm glad that she got as far as she did, but I sort of feel like I've seen as much as I need to see from her. I'm glad that she's popping up in Work the World, and I like when she pops into like co-host things or when she appears in a Pit Stop. I do think she's always very funny, but I don't think I would engage with her as a character over a series.
Oh, every time I see her on screen, I'm just so engaged in her point of view of drag and her style and stuff. So I just want to see more.
Okay, well, yeah, you know, fair enough.
Good old Nina Flowers is the only one uniting us here. season 9.
I have two from season 9.
I imagine we'll overlap on one. That person's Peppermint.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. Now more than ever, Peppermint needs a crown for All Stars 6. That she can complete the holy... Holy quartet of season 9 winners.
Yeah. I don't think she'd win this lineup I have here, but I think she'd do well. And she just has a totally different narrative kind of bring now that she's, you know, a Broadway actress and she's also in Pose and, you know, she's transitioning, and like, it's just great story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, she was so strong on season 9 in a lot of ways. Like, she had a couple of moments, like she needs a bit of a redemption for her snatch game. Her runways definitely are something that needs to be sort of like looked at. But I mean, if you look at the looks she's bringing now, she's sort of really strong and beautiful and looks amazing. And also she has this real political edge and is like properly engaged. Like if you watch the videos herself and Bob the Drag Queen are doing, like she's got a really interesting point of view. And I think she would bring something exciting to the show that could be very different to what we've seen before.
A breath of fresh air. Minty fresh air.
A bit of minty fresh air. Yes.
I think she's the obvious choice from season 9. Who's the other one?
So I also thought Nina Bonina Brown deserves a comeback, because I think that, bearing it, hopefully she will have like gone away and reflected upon her issues and was able to come back with a bit more of a better headspace. But I think her looks were amazing, and what she's doing, if you see her on her Instagram stories, or like she is doing fantastic looks. Like, she is using the skills she had in a much more polished way, which I think would be fantastic to see her back on the show for that reason. I do think as well, she was funny and her talking head was always interesting, and I would be excited to see what she could do in this new sort of bigger format.
See, I would feel towards her the same way I feel about towards Kim Chi in a way, as in like, I've always liked what you've done, I'd like to see more of it, but I don't think she has upped the areas that she was weaker as Kim Chi has.
Maybe I just want her on to fight with J. Jolie.
I was supposed to be Taylor Swift. I would agree that I'm interested, but she wouldn't be. I'd pick some of the other people you chose over her. Season 10.
I have one queen from season 10.
Me too.
I wonder if you have the same queen of season 10.
We say it on three?
Yes.
One, two, three.
Asia O'Hara.
Yeah, because I just feel, you know, I feel like we all knew Aquaria was going to win, but I feel Asia was kind of like that close second, maybe that wild card, Evie Oddly to the Brooklyn Heights, maybe.
I felt that she shot herself in the foot in that finale by trying to do the Sasha Velour thing, and she never even got a look in then for the final lip sync, because she was like, they were like, well, you've murdered a load of fauna here on the stage. You can't be brought back out again.
And also, Cameron Michaels, for me anyway, for some people I knew, we were like over Cameron Michaels, because we'd just seen her lip sync four times basically in a row, and she knocked out Miss Cracker and people were livid. So people were like, come on, Asia, knock her out. And she couldn't even do that, you know? And then we ended up with an annoying three-way lip sync in the final.
To be honest, like, that's one of those things that we obviously weren't doing this podcast at that time, but if we were, I would have been ranting about that, because I was just like, we didn't need another Eureka lip sync. And on another side, Cameron Michaels did not deserve to be top two. So like,
no,
it was kind of like
top three.
But I mean, like, I felt like
joint second.
Yeah, I feel like I felt like Eureka had been outperformed by Aquaria in the first, or in the, like, I felt like Eureka could have been booted off. If you know what I mean.
I think Eureka outperformed Aquaria in their two lip sync, and that's why it was a double Shantae, because we wanted Aquaria to win.
I think I was just over Eureka. That
was my
that
reading
point.
Of it. Oh, no, me too. And but I objectively, I was like, I think Eureka's doing better here.
Yeah.
And I was worried for Aquaria. And then, well, actually, I wasn't worried because I knew who was going to win. but, I mean, yeah, Asia, you know, she had some ups and downs, but like they were kind of, you know, when she didn't look after herself, and she had like the Tweety Bird look, which is iconic.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the Jimmy Joe, the dandelion look, I thought was great as well. And, you know, she makes great looks. She has a good personality. Shocking Snatch Game now, you know, one of the worst.
Yes.
But that's because she ends up down a stupid rabbit hole. Like, she was good at some of the other comedy challenges, like she did well on Breast World and stuff like that.
Oh, so. the one with the like the butterface as well was very funny. Like, so. Yeah, the dating apps. I think she was very strong in her season. I watched her episode of Work the World, and she's like got a very like sort of caring, compassionate vibe about her. I think she is someone who you would like. She's someone who you would want to know and want to get on with, and who feels like sort of really good at what they do, but also is a really good person. I would be excited to see her back, and wouldn't see her as my winner. Well, that's because I think Peppermint would be my winner, but I would see her going extremely far.
I feel like coming out of season 10, I was like, okay, Asia O'Hara is kind of like Monet Exchange plus a few. Do you know?
Yes.
She's kind of a bit more further along that polish line. So if Monet has stepped it up and is able to win, I'm sure Asia could too.
Yeah,
absolutely. In theory. Season 11.
Friend of the pod, Nina West.
Yeah, I mean, I feel she's the obvious one. I didn't go for her though at the moment. I was like, give her a bit of time.
Yeah, so I also feel this strongly, which is like I think it's very important for the queens to have some time between when they've been on the show and when they come back to All Stars in order to kind of grow in their performance and like grow in their confidence, and then also to give the audience a chance to miss them. And I think that 2-ish years is enough time for Nina to come back, and like all she really needed to do was buy better hip pads, and then she kind of had everything else and maybe a bit more confident.
Yeah, well, you see, I think it's okay to come back if you've more of a if you've more of a redemption storyline, which I don't think she has. Like, I think she came across, she was kind of, you know, she was Miss Congeniality. She was kind of the winner of the season to a certain extent as well.
Yeah.
Like, people loved her. People were devastated when she left. So, like, if that show was a public vote each week, she would have won. You know, it's sort of
yes.
Like, so I don't really feel she needs to go back at the moment. So I would leave her a few years to sort of simmer, and then she'll punch. Because I don't know if she'd win if she went back now.
She's not boiling. She's simmering away.
She's simmering.
Okay. Yeah. And who did you pick?
I didn't pick anyone from season 11.
Oh, well, there you go. So, and then
if there were to be one, it would be Nina, but I didn't choose her for the reasons.
Okay.
I mean, you could say Plastic Tiara, but
I don't get it.
No.
Not for me. No, thanks.
Not for me. Now, I chose season 12.
So I've already, I'm an outspoken opposer of picking queens just off the back of their seasons.
So, but you do want a whole All-Star season of just season 12?
Well, no, see, I think that would be very different. Because it wouldn't really be an All-Star season, it would just be in recognition of the fact that they were crapped all over with the way their things worked out for them in their season.
True. So, again, I said, I think it's okay for them to come back if they have a redemption. So, one of them I chose is Rakim Sakura. I just want more.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel they've gone too soon. Like, I just feel, you know, why? You know, I thought it was funny. There was good runway looks, except the one they had to make. Just a wonderful personality.
Bring back the bulge.
We want more porn-up content.
No, I like Rock as well. I think that Rock was a really funny, interesting queen, did things in a very different way. I would be equally excited to see him back on a season of All Stars, but I would give, first of all, he wouldn't be my first choice of a season 12, and also I would again just give it a year or two to like do some performance out in the real world, to like, you know, change a bit or grow a bit or whatever. Like, for me, Rock is far too emotional, and like that whole like crying weeping thing, like, you know, my mother didn't hate like me, so everyone hates me, and you girls are my sisters, but you're not really, like that whole thing. I just like, I think
I didn't mind that. A bit of high drama, like, shit.
Too high. That drama was too high.
The other person I chose was Gigi Good. Right, because I feel she's kind of almost ready to go into All Stars already. She was so good. The only reason she didn't win is because people were bored of her.
I think people need to forget that they hate her.
I don't think they hate her. I think they found her a bit arrogant, and that'll be her storyline.
I mean, I think that if I was going to be picking, because I do agree with you, I think it's nice to have a redemption storyline, and it's nice to have like a particular point that a person needs to like come back and be stronger at. I would have said like that Jackie Cox would have been the person that I would have brought back.
I think she needs more time.
Interesting. But no, I think that kind of like, the for me, All-Stars 7, I would say that Heidi and Closet should come back. And that Heidi and Closet comes back.
And Crystal Method.
Or Crystal Method, exactly. But I wouldn't be too interested in seeing any of the All-Stars, of the 12 girls back. Like, also, like, Nikki Doll would be someone who I would like to see back at some point. But I'm just
at some point, All-Stars 14.
Bastille Day!
I know, I just feel Gigi, like, she's ready to go. Like, she's so, like, she has all the looks. Her mum's slaving away at them already. Like, she has the comedy. She did so well.
Do you know what? I couldn't take... Because, like, this is one thing. Okay, Shay definitely deserved to win. But I honestly couldn't take this sort of entitled storyline of, like, the stolen winner one more second.
Well, I wouldn't say... If I was her, I wouldn't go in with that point of view. I would be like, people thought I was cocky. And I think if she goes in surrounded by queens who are kind of, who were just as good as her, she won't look relatively as good. And I think people might like her more. That'd be the storyline. Asia O'Hara would be the, you know, I could have won if I didn't mass slaughter
butterflies.
You know? That'd be her storyline. And maybe, I don't know, Courtney Act could go with something like that as well. So do you want to recap your list there and then tell me who you think the first out is in the top three?
Okay. So I have Nina Flowers, Ivy Winters, Jay Jolly, Trinity K. Bonet, Jocelyn Fox, Mrs. Kasia Davis, Nina Bonina Brown, Peppermint, Asia O'Hara, and Nina West.
Okay, I think a lot of them are middle of the road.
For you?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And I talk so passionately about them. But at least they've actually...
I've been unconvinced again. Like, I didn't hear any winner really until I got to, like, Peppermint.
Well, I think that you would be surprised. I think that my first out, it would be between Mrs. Kasia Davis and Jade Jolly. They would be the ones I would see as my, like, first out.
So Jade Jolly would be like a Derek Barry style villain who gets cut straight away.
Potentially, yeah. And I think that my winner would be either Peppermint or Asia.
Okay. So my list was Nina Flowers, Pandora Box, Delta Work, Chiquili Caliente, Courtney Act, Kim Chi, Peppermint, Asia O'Hara, Gigi Good, and Rock'em Sakura. I would say my first out was probably Chiquili Caliente or Delta Work or Rock'em Sakura. One of those three, I would say. Just depending on how it goes.
After you fought so hard for Delta Work, you're kicking her out first.
It could be one of those.
Maybe she'd bring one of those, like, burnt wigs.
Well, I'm just thinking the talent show. Like, what would she do in the talent show?
Tell a terrible, sad joke wearing an awful t-shirt dress. And horrible, like, gold hot pan things.
I felt I fought more for Pandora Box, personally. But there you go. Yeah, I'm just kind of interested. Like, I want to do well, but if I had to choose, I'd probably be one of those. But sure, they can always surprise you. And then I think, for me, it would be, like, a Courtney, Kim, and, like, Gigi top three.
So Asia O'Hara is not even cracking the top three?
No.
After you said that her storyline would be, like, the deserving winner?
So no. That's the storyline she's going with. She's going with the, you know, I could have won if I didn't mass out of butterflies. I think she has the capability to win. But on paper now, from their track record, without seeing
on paper right now,
not knowing what they do in the show, and based on their track record, I'd say Courtney would win.
Okay. Except for RuPaul would be like,
yeah.
Well, here's the scepter, bitch.
So sure, look, that was a bit of fun. Bit of speculating. We don't get to delve back into the past too much. So that was
no,
nice.
We don't. It was nice to talk about queens that have never featured on the podcast before.
Yeah. I'm surprised Dita Ritz didn't get a mention.
She was on my list. She, like, because I narrowed it down a good bit, and she was on my list for quite a while, and then I think I kicked her off the list.
And you chose Miss Kasia Davis over her.
Yeah. I love Miss Kasia Davis. I have.
Well, there is always time for cocktail.
There is always time for cocktail, and she's very charming. I met her at several drag events, and I have photographs with her, and all to prove it. I'm fangirling so, over Kasia Davis.
It's nepotism how she got into your list.
Exactly,
she charmed you.
Yeah, she charmed. She did charm me, and I think she's very funny and very natural, and I think that also she does represent. I don't think that there really has been many good older queens on the show. Like, I mean, if you think of like the older queens, really it's Kasia, Tempest and Charlie Hides, and well, she's definitely the best of that bunch.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll be back with you on Saturday for another Drag Race Canada. Until then, find us on Instagram and Facebook at SissyThatPod. Have a good week. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.